If you would turn with me this evening to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 40. Psalm 40, and read just a few verses out of Psalm 40, and then just talk a little bit this evening for a few minutes, and hope that it'll be an encouragement to us. Psalm 40, if you would stand in honor and reverence of God's word, we'll read just a few verses here this evening, and Psalm 40, and I'll begin reading in verse number 1, and I'll read down through verse number 4. Psalm 40, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says this: I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for the reading of your word, and I'm grateful for these folks that are here tonight. And I pray, God, that you would just touch and bless and help, our communion here tonight, our fellowship around the word of God and around the prayer, and God, just the opportunity to come together as your people, God, in the middle of the week to worship you and to get some strength, Lord, and to get some encouragement, and Lord, just to kind of get our batteries recharged for the rest of the week. God, we're so grateful for it, and we ask that you just do what needs to be done in each of our hearts, God, and may you be praised. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Psalm 40 is a messianic psalm, and we see here this is speaking of partially of the Lord's death and burial and resurrection, and it gives the gospel, and it says that many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. And we see here in verse number 1 is kind of where I want to get started, and I just got three little points here this evening and some supporting verses. But I've been thinking about the importance of waiting on God. You know, as we've been going through this time, as I've been here as an interim pastor, and we're praying about what God would have for the church and for me and my family, and just waiting on God to give an answer and waiting on God to give clear direction. And I think so much of our lives, we in our natural lives, we spend waiting. Waiting is one of my biggest pet peeves is waiting, standing in line somewhere. And I always get frustrated, you know, I'm somewhere purchasing something or, you know, paying for a service or something, and I have to stand in line to pay someone. Amen. You know, that's frustrating to me. If there's, you know, 14 registers that nobody's at and there's 20 people standing in line at this one, get someone else to open another register. I'm here to pay you. And you're making me stand. You know, you can tell I get frustrated about that. But we spend a lot of our time waiting. You know, we wait at the gas pump when, you know, the gas prices go down over here across town, and everybody hears, oh, it's, you know, 10 cents cheaper over there. Well, everybody goes over there. What are you doing? You're sitting in line waiting. We spend a lot of our time waiting. What we call waiting. But I believe when we look in the Word of God, this Psalm of David here says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, that's not the same type of waiting that we do a lot. And I didn't mention the one that's the most frustrating. It's going to the D-O-C-T-O-R. I spelled it out because it's almost a cuss word, you know. You go to the doctor, what are you going to do for the next 2 to 3 hours? You're going to wait sometimes. Or going to the emergency room. Help us. You know, go to the emergency room. You plan on being there 5 or 6 hours. That's just no joke. So we spend a lot of our time what we call waiting, but I think it's different in the Bible when we talk about wait, and I know it is. But David said here, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. When did God incline and hear his cry? When he had waited patiently. Not when he cried the first time, not when he prayed the first time, not when he called out the first time necessarily, but when he had waited patiently. And this wait doesn't mean we're standing there frustrated or we're pacing. That's not the type of waiting. To wait does not mean to just sit around and do nothing or sit around and get frustrated. To wait in the Bible means to hope for, to expect, or to look for diligently, or to long for. That's what the word translated, the word wait translated means. When we see it here in this scripture and in the ones that I'm going to mention, very similar. It means really to long for. That means that we are expecting something from God. We're looking for it. Our eyes are lifted unto God and we are looking for something. We're expecting something from God. It's not what we call waiting here when we get angry and frustrated and all of those things. So I just want to look at this thing about waiting on the Lord and how it can be such a benefit to us. Now in the Bible, the word wait is used 101 times. Now, I don't know if that really means anything, but the phrase wait on the Lord is only used 3 times. So there's a lot of waiting, you know, and I realize there are lots of different uses of the word throughout the Bible. You know, when someone to lie in wait, that's used a lot of times. You know, the enemies of God would lie in wait, and they're people that are dishonest will lie in wait to take advantage. So that's you know, many times it's used that way. But when we say to wait on the Lord, it's only 3 times. And so I looked at those three, those 3 usages, and I thought, you know, I think we can pull something out of each one of those. So I kind of use this Psalm 40 verse 1 as a launching pad to say that if we'll wait patiently for the Lord, God will incline his ear to us. He will hear us. He will answer us. He might not answer us today or tomorrow. It might be a month from now, a year from now, or 10 years from now. But God will answer. And we got to be patient and wait for him. And it's tough to do, especially when things are hard and when we need an answer right away or we think we do. And it's hard to wait. It's hard to trust. A big part of waiting on the Lord is trust. We see that here in verse number 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Maketh the Lord his trust. In verse 3, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So waiting on the Lord involves trust. I am willing to wait for God and patiently wait for him to answer. Why? Because I trust him that he will answer. And we don't have that in the rest of our lives, do we? Most times. We don't trust what we're waiting for. But we can trust the Lord. All right. So let's, first of all, I want to say in Psalm 27, we're going to be mostly in the book of Psalms and Proverbs here. But in Psalm chapter 27, you'll back up just a few pages. Psalm 27. This is one of the 3 times that phrase wait on the Lord is used. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Psalm 27 and verse 14. The Bible says, wait on the Lord. Now that seems to me to be a commandment. You know, it's an expectation. Wait on the Lord. Then there's a colon there. And so what's following is going to describe more of what was just said. Wait on the Lord, colon. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So I see here, we can wait on the Lord for strength. You ever been without strength? Now, I don't mean muscles. I don't mean that at all. The Bible doesn't mean that. But strength of heart, strength of mind, strength of spirit. Sometimes we are without strength, and we faint. Not physically, but maybe spiritually. We faint because of adversity or because of the pressures of life around us. Psalmist says here, wait on the Lord in those times. So when he says wait on the Lord, then the rest of it is descriptive of this. He says, be of good courage. Well, that would lead me to believe that they weren't originally of good courage, right? If God is telling us be of good courage, then it must mean that we weren't before. Things had gotten us down. Things had gotten to us. be of good courage. And then when we're not of good courage, we must lack strength, because he said, be of good courage and he shall strengthen thine heart. So I know we've all felt that way. I know we've all been in times when, whether through tragedy or just the pressures of life, we get to where we just feel like we've just lost strength and we're needing help. And what do we do? He says, wait on the Lord. And again, that doesn't mean that we're pacing the floor. That means that we're calling out to him and we're trusting him and patiently expecting him to answer us. And again, it may not be right away, but we have to be patient. We have to trust him. So we can wait for strength. Over in the book of Isaiah, if you want to turn there, you can. But in the book of Isaiah, excuse me, in chapter number 40, verse 31 says this, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, we all know it. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Talking about fainting, you know, we get to times in our lives where just the pressure and stress and all of those things get very heavy for us to bear. And of course, the Lord said we could take his yoke upon us. He says that we could give him all of our cares because he cares for us. That's part of this. That's part of waiting on the Lord, giving him our burdens and waiting for him to take them and give us the strength to go on. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So we can wait on the Lord for strength, and he will give it to us. I really believe that. Then secondly, back to Psalms, Psalm 37. Psalm 37, I'm going to begin reading in verse 34 and read a few verses. Psalm 37, beginning in verse 34, the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Again, this seems like a commandment. This seems like something that he's telling us, boy, we ought to do that. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. See, that's a little more descriptive yet. While we're waiting on the Lord, what are we supposed to do? Go do our own thing? No. Keep doing what God wants us to do and what God commands us to do. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. And after we do that, he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. We can wait on the Lord for peace. You know, it's something about Christians, it's something about believers in Jesus Christ that there's a peace that passeth all understanding. Now, how can people deal with the things that life throws at them? And you wonder, how in the world can you get through that? Well, there's something about the presence of God and the power of God and the peace of God. And the Bible says if we will wait for him, we can have peace. Even in the midst of turmoil, we can have peace. And we've seen that in instances all throughout the Bible. We've seen that. You've seen that in instances in your life and me and my life. If we just give God some time, give God a chance, and wait for him. And he doesn't always make us wait a long time. But there is a promise here. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. And I know that this is speaking of Israel and it's prophetical and all those things, but it is a good principle for us. And at the end of that man, he says, is peace. God will give us peace. I think about that almost daily. I do think, one of these days, the wicked, like we see here, they're going to pass away. And we will, once and for all, God's people, once and for all, will have peace. I'm looking for that day. But God can also give us peace in the midst of all that, even here while we're here. And I believe that's what this is talking about. We can wait for the Lord for peace. Back in the same Psalm 37, verse 9, the Bible says this, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth." One day, God's gonna make all things new. He's going to make all things right. The wicked will have their reward. The righteous will have their reward, their inheritance. It's all happening one day. But it's going to take some patience and it's going to take some waiting. But there is peace to come. So we can wait on the Lord for strength. We can wait on the Lord for peace. And then I want to look in Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20. And I just want to look at one verse here, verse number 22. Proverbs 20, verse 22. "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee." He shall save thee. Seems like we were talking about, I don't know when it was, I think maybe it was in Sunday school a few weeks ago, or maybe it was in church service, I don't remember. But it was talked about vengeance. The Lord said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," God said. "Vengeance is mine." And so when we do things to recompense, when we do things to ourselves to make right according to our own thoughts, we take vengeance from God. If we go out and deal out our own type of justice on a situation, even if it's just chewing someone out for doing us wrong, or even if it's thinking wrong things about someone who did us wrong. Now, it's more than just someone pulling out in front of you. You know, it's someone that hurts, harms, those types of things. Yes, we want vengeance. We want justice, and we want it now. But God says, "Vengeance is mine." There's some things that belong to God, and we don't have any right, or we don't have any reason or need to be in those things. And vengeance is one of those things. Because when we take vengeance, we take it away from God. And God will do a much better job of recompensing evil than we ever could. His justice will be full. His justice will be righteous. And what we'll end up doing is we'll make ourselves a fool. We'll make a bigger mess. If we will wait on God to do it, God will do it justly and perfectly and fully. One of these days, those who are taking advantage of people and hurting people, they will stand before God, and he will dole out judgment unto them. He will have vengeance on those who take advantage of his children. We can wait for mercy. That's what this point is. God will show mercy. He will recompense evil. He will save us. He will deliver us. But we have to wait on the Lord. But wait on the Lord and he shall save thee. Psalm 123 and verse 2, and then we'll be finished. Psalm 123 and verse 2. That's just supporting verse to this thought. 123 and verse 2. "Behold, as the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of the maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us." Are we really looking to God? And I know we love the Lord. I know you love the Lord. And I know you serve him. But look at this. Look at this literally. "Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters." What does that mean? That means they're watching to see where that man points. What's his direction for me? Where does he want me to go? I don't think it means they're looking for a handout or waiting for pay. That could be part of it, their reward or whatever. But I think the servant is watching their master to see what his directions are. "And then as the eyes of a maiden under the hand of her mistress." Same thing. A good servant, a good maiden, will always want to do the perfect desire and will of their master, of their mistress. So, just like this, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. Are we looking and watching and listening for what God wants to do, His very direction in our life? I'd say in a general sense, yes, we are. But if we put it into a more very simple, very compartmentalized idea, do I spend some time every day paying attention and looking and listening and waiting for God's direction? And when I do that, the Bible says, we looked at in Proverbs 20, that He will deliver us. He will show us mercy. He will save us in those difficult times. So we can wait for the Lord for strength, for peace, for mercy, and I'm sure there's lots of other things. But waiting on the Lord is not always an easy thing, but I believe it's very, very needful for us, and I believe it is very helpful, and it's very powerful when we wait on the Lord and expect something from God. And when we come to church, when we get in prayer with God, when we're seeking for God, we ought to expect something. I heard somebody say years and years and years ago, if you're a Christian and you're going to pray and ask God for rain, carry an umbrella with you. Just expect God to answer. That's waiting on God. I've given God my petition. I've given God my request. Now I'm expecting, not that we're demanding Him or we're presuming upon God. We're not doing that. But we do have so many examples in the Word of God. I cried unto the Lord and He inclined His ear unto me. He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. And He does. And I think that's why it's so important that He says that we ought to continue in His ways, right? Continue to seek Him. Continue to keep our eyes on Him. And when we're doing those things, it's easier for God to show us and to lead us. And we will see what we need to see. Waiting on the Lord. What a blessing it is. Father, thank You, God, for Your word. Thank You for this time. Now I pray, God, as we split up and go into our groups and bring prayer requests and pray together, God, I pray that it would be a time of fellowship, for one thing, but a time of reflection, and Lord, just a time of maybe even brokenness over current affairs and the lost and the hurting. God, that we would just come together in one heart and one mind and one accord to just pray tonight and just wait for Your answer and wait for You to do the work. And again, Lord, we're just grateful for who You are and all that You do. Please bless us now and bless the rest of this evening and the rest of this week for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.